Radhe Radhe. This is Nityananda Trayodasi, 2010. And we're discussing this wonderful verse from Anti Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishna's Kaviraj is glorifying the pure devotees of the Lord, Krishna Bhaktas. Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakale Ashanta, Krishna Bhakta Naishkama Sakale Shanta, Ateva Shanta. The Krishna Bhakta, he's always peaceful because he has no desire but to serve Krishna, to love Krishna. So he explains that there's three characteristics here of the pure devotee. It's about the dust, the water, and the words. It's earth, water, and ether. Words are passing through the ether. And the water, it's like you have the avashesh. Well, externally it's the dust. Duli is the dust, pada is the jal, and avashesh is the earth. Because the remnants of the devotee are earth, right? Externally. But it's saying, bhakta pada duli, ara bhakta pada jal, bhakta bhukta avashesha 18 mahabal. 18 save haite Krishna prema hai, puna puna sarva shastri pukariya kai. This is a famous verse to glorify the devotees. What is the prabhav? Bhakta prabhav. It glorifies not only the bhakta but also bhakti herself. How powerful is the devotee who is carrying bhakti devi in his heart. What influence he has, what radiance he has to influence the people of the world in general and the people that are connected with it specifically. Bhakta paraduli. Because when bhakti comes into the heart of someone, then they become transformed, they become spiritualized. Ordinarily people have dust on their feet or dirt on their feet and they say, oh, this is, wash your feet are dirty. And the water that washes someone's feet is not considered to be, it's considered to be contaminated water, dirty, you wash. All the dirt and soil and oil and grease from your feet is off. And the remnants of someone's food is considered contaminated, a source of disease, a way to spread disease through the saliva and germs and bacteria mixed in the food that someone's eaten. It's contaminated. It's thrown out materially. But in the spiritual side, everything is different. There's a different vichara, a different consideration. Because Krishna has entered there. Krishna has entered the devotee in the form of his Ladini Shakti and Samvit Shakti. Samvit Shakti is Vasudeva Sri Krishna. And Ladini Shakti is Radharani. So Bhakti Devi is Radha and Krishna. One giving light, one giving ras. Samvit gives light, power to see. Light is the power to see. The Samvit Shakti gives the power to see Krishna and see your own form. But then once you see Krishna and see yourself, then there's some exchange. And that exchange is an exchange of seva, loving service, and that produces bhav or rasa. And that's Radharani, Ladini, bliss. Samvit and Ladini is bhakti. So bhakti comes in, the devotee becomes spiritualized, transformed. He has the power. He now has the power to see God. And he has the power to show other people God. And he has bliss, transcendental joy. Radharani is residing in his heart. We say Govinda Vishram. There's a bhajan, Vaishnava, oh Vaishnava Thakura. Govinda Vishram. Govinda is lying in your heart. Well, Govinda is he's a Moni Brat Yogi. Is Govinda just, he's a sadhu in a cave in Haridwar, the cave of your heart, Riddhi Guya, or Riddhi Gufa. He's gone off to the Himalayas, he's gone off to the cave of your heart. No, he's there with Radharani. Radha Govinda. Govinda Vishram, Krishna sleeps with Radharani. So in the heart, Krishna's there. The same question, of course, is asked in a very simple way to Prabhupada in 1966. Oh, Prabhupada, is Krishna in our hearts? Yes, Krishna's in your heart. Well, if Krishna's in the heart, that means Radharani's also in the heart? Yes. Radharani's also there. And then they said, well, Prabhupada, Radha and Krishna, they're always in Vrindavan. So does that mean Vrindavan is in your heart? Prabhupada said, yes. Moramanahave Vrindavane. So Prabhupada's man, his mind and heart, his chitta, are always full of Vrindavan, Brajadam, Radha Damodar, Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari, Gopijana Balava. Sometimes Prabhupada sings this song in early days. He says, Brajajana. You think, and it's so funny, I've told this before, that Prabhupada sing in 1968 in San Francisco. It's on recorded vintage. You know this song, and Prabhupada taught it, and they were singing, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallava. And everyone's saying Gopi, and then Prabhupada, in his own name, he says, Braja Jana Vallava. And Prabhupada's saying, Braja Jana Vallava. And then the gopis are saying, and then, not the gopis, the devotees are responding, Gopi Jana Vallava. And we couldn't make out that Prabhupada was doing, it's called Alankar, that where the bhajan might be one thing, but the padakarta or the singer, the kirtaniyar, he can add a line or subtract a line, or according to, it's called a lankar, he adds an ornamentation. He adds a line according to his own bhav or whatever he experiences while he's singing his song. Something may just rattle in his heart and it comes out in the line. Jai Jai Nitai, Jai Jai Gaur, Jai Jai Sridham Mayapur. Just something, yeah, everyone say, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga. And then something else comes. Oh, okay. And that, it's like this. The Prabhupada said, Braja Jana Bhalava, Gopi Jana Bhalava. Obviously, Krishna, Govinda is the beloved of the gopis, especially Radhakant. He's a lover of Radharani, especially Radhakant. But Krishna loves all the Braja Janas. He loves the cows. He loves the peacocks. He loves the parrots. He loves the harina, the deer. He loves everyone. So Prabhupada was remembering Gopijana, then he was remembering Brajit. He's in San Francisco, 1968. And he starts singing about his Sevakunj. He starts singing about his Nidivan. He starts singing about his Radha Damodar. He starts singing about his Rasalila. He lived in Rasastali. Sevakunj is Rasastali. He lived there for 6 years or more, because he lived 59 to 65, he was in Radha Damodar. And before that, he was in Vamshi. Gopal Temple, which is right near Gokulananda Temple. That's also Rasalila. Mm-hmm. And then before that, which is not even in Leelamrita, he was staying in Brahmakund side. And that's also Rasalila, because of Govindastali. Gopishwar, Govindastali, and Brahmakund, that's Brahmakund. It's all part of the Rasastali. From there, and it starts over there and starts in Vamshivad, and then they do puja in Govindastali. And then there's, you know, Shiva bathed in Brahmakund to get a Gopishwar roop. And then they wander out over closer to the Yamuna, back towards Vanshivad. Then they go to the Yamuna Pulin, and then Dira Shamir, and they rest something in there in Dira Shamir. Then they continue walking, and they start dancing all that area. Then they go over Sevakunj, they're wandering, and Govindagat, and then Lita gets thirsty, so Krishna thinks it, well, Vamshi, Koop with his Vamshi for Lalita and Sevakunj. And then maybe they rest there at night, have some Kunjalila, and Radharani's a little bit in Man, and then Krishna saves, does some seva. And then again, then they wander here and there, and then some more dancing, and then they get tired, and they end up over by Nidivan's side in Rangamahal. They go in Nidivan, and they sleep. This is their movements. So the devotees, they know these things, and they live there, and they meditate on these things. That's why that was the center of Vrindavan. The center of Vrindavan is Rasa Lila. And so six Goswamis, they're all there. They're meeting regularly in the middle of the Rasastali. Radha Damodar Mandir is a Rasastali. They're meeting there regularly, discussing Bhagavad Gita, Hari Gita. Prabhupada has left all of that to bring Vrindavan to the world. So he's remembering Vrindavan, and then he's saying Gopi Jana Vallava, then he thinks Gopi Jana Vallava, and then he says Braja Jana Vallava. Really, I was listening. I said, wait a minute, he's saying Braja Jana Vallava. I played back, he's singing it. I tried to enter into the space between the lines. What is he feeling? And what is he. Because it's not in the song. The song is written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. That line is not there. Yeah. Prabhupada added the line. Why did he add the line? This the disciple wants to know. He wants to feel. He wants to understand. I suppose now, if Prabhupada's saying that, we would be able to hear a little better and respond. Because as the heart becomes purer, you can hear better. The pure devotee. So Krishna's entered his heart. Radharani's entered his heart. So now his body is transformed. Everything in contact with his body is transcendental. So much power. 18 seva haite Krishna prema hai. Puna puna sarva shastri fukariya kai. Bhakta pada duliyara bhakta pada jal. Bhakta bhukta avashesha 18 mahabal. 18 seva haite Krishna prema hai. Puna puna sarva shastri fukariya kai. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela 1660. The dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee, Bhakta Paraduli. The water that washes their feet, Bhakta Parajal. And their Maha Maha Prasadam, remnants, which in brackets it says both Harikata and Prasadam. These three are very powerful. By serving these three, one attains Krishna Prem. This has been proclaimed in all the shastras again and again. That's the easy way to go. You should regularly invite Vaishnavas to your house and become Kalidas. And he would feed all the devotees and then they would eat and throw their leaf plates. He would go and lick them all up, high, low, in between, didn't matter. Yeah, so by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, he got the padajal from Lord Chaitanya. The Vaishnavas are too humble. How is it possible? How would it be possible for Kalidas to go to the Vaishnavas and say, can I get your foot back? Can I bathe your feet? Hey, get out from here. But they have to walk. Their feet are walking. They're not Narada Muni. They're not Devas. Their feet are touching the earth. It's Kali Yuga. So devotees have to walk here and there from their house to the mandir, from the mandir to the Ganga, from the Ganga to the mandir. So he walks behind and rolls in the dust. It's freely available, the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas. And they have to eat, at least for some time, while they're in this body, to maintain this material body. And they throw, there's some remnants because they don't eat the strings stick sabji. Yeah. Stick sabji, they don't eat the stringy things of the stick sabji. There's a funny anecdote about this remnants of Bhakta Bhukta Avashesh, the remnants of Bhakti Santa Saraswati. Little anecdote. His servant would take his plate after his lunch prasad and take it to the brahmacharis in the temple and distribute it to the eagerly waiting brahmacharis to get the maha maha prasad from Sri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And once he inquired from his servant, he said, can you tell me who eats what? So he said, oh, Brajmohan, he always takes the rasgulas and sweet rice. Well, but Damodar Das, he always takes the stick sabji, whatever. and then he understood, and he said, okay, call that person who took the remains of my stick sabji. Because he understood that the other one's disciples were after a swad. They're after a swad. Taste. Oh, hey, I want Guru Maharaj's rasgula. Hey, I want the gulab jamun. Oh, I really want to get the ras, the gulab jamun. I want the guru ras, bhakti ras, seva ras. That's the one. That's the real. That's the prize one. That has the most nectar in it. So he called. He said. Bhaktisiddhanta remarked. He said, "Yes, this person who was taking the stick sabji. Actually, he didn't meet him. He remarked to his servant. He said he has understood the actual principle of bhakta bhukta avashesh. He's serving my remnants, and trying to get my mercy of my." In the most humble way, without any demand for payment, no conditions, unconditional seva, not like reward program. I served you, now where's the reward? This is a very common mentality. I scratchy your back, you scratchy my back. But, you know, if you don't scratchy my back, I don't scratchy your back. So this reward seeking mentality is not bhakti. The reward is there automatically, seek it or not. But if you are seeking it, then bhakti is not there. Reward may come, but only reward in the material plane, because you're operating in the material plane. Service for service's sake, seva for seva's sake. If you have served begrudgingly means against your will or unwillingly, if you don't know the meaning of the word. Well, Krishna asks, will you do this? Okay, yeah, I'll do it. You don't want to, it's against your will, but somehow you don't want to say forget it, get lost, because it is your guru and you have some regard and some respect and some sense, some faint sense of doing some duty. That means that you have not received the mercy. Otherwise, when you're given service, you jump. You like jump off the ceiling to execute it at the earliest. Just imagine. I mean, it's so funny. People are so lackadaisical when it comes to serving a spiritual master. But they're so right on attentive when it comes to serving a material master. Right? There's spiritual master and material master. Spiritual master is the master of our soul, who will actually liberate us from birth and death and give us a joyful life of service of the Lord. Material master is our employer, our boss. We're in the office and he says, Mr. Smith, do this. Yeah, okay, I'll get to it. You know, I'm a little busy now. I got to go to Indra's Kirtan and go to Bhagavatam class. I'll get to it someday. Really? Where are you? 5 minutes later, where are you? You're on the street. You're fired. You're out. The boss says jump, you jump. Look, here's this package. You get in your car and you take it across town and you deliver it to that guy over there. Yes, sir. And you're gone. And I expect you back in 2 hours. Don't goof off here and there. Then you come back in 3 hours. Hey, where were you? On my time? Oh, I got a flat tire, this, that. So he'll have to tolerate that, although you were actually stopped at the sweet shop and this and that. You have a girlfriend there or whatever. Devotional service is a privilege, not a right. Bhakta Paraduli, Bhakta Parajal, Bhakta Bhukta Avashesha, 18 Mahabhav. Well, if we have any contact with the dust from the feet of a pure devotee, or the water that's washed his feet, or his food remnants, the remnants of Krishna's food, remnants of Krishna's Maha, which is now called Maha Mahaprasad, there's Mahabal. There's so much power. These three have so much power that what can they do? That if you serve them with right consciousness and right mood, attitude, which is what Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was inquiring when he asked his servant to tell me about my disciples, what is their seva to my Maha Mahaprasadam? Are they serving it or are they enjoying it? So this is it's an attitude. It's the proper attitude. Seva, bhav. 18 is seva haite Krishna prema hai. 18 of these three, if someone serves them, 18 is seva haite. Haite then, prema will come. Prema hai, there will be Krishna prema, ecstatic love for Krishna. Oh, who's saying that? Krishna's Kaviraj, you're saying that. Who are you? No, I'm not saying. Puna puna sarva shastra fu kariya kai. Fu kariya. Fu. Fu kariya. Fu means very loud. Kariya. Kariya kai means speaking. Kariya kai. They did speak. Kariya kai means they did speak. Fu means loudly proclaiming. Listen, hiri, hiri, hiri. Listen, everyone, shunye, fukariya, kai, sarva shastre, puna puna, again and again, let me tell you this thing, the dust of the feet of the pure devotee, his remnants of his foodstuffs, and the water washing his feet, will give you Krishna prema, ecstatic love of God. Listen, do you hear it? But then, okay, sounds easy enough. But the one word that makes it very difficult is seva. 18 seva haite. If one renders service to these three, 18 is seva, serving them. So that's the proper attitude, proper approach. Because that requires some humility. Seva requires humility and submission. Oh, why should I take the dust from your feet? Who are you? And why should I take your remnants? Maybe I'll get sick. Yeah, you will get sick. You'll get love sick. You become love sick for Shyam. You'll start vilap, praying vilap, lamenting and separation from Radha and Krishna. So that's the external meaning, which is not really that external. Bhav is like electricity. Bhav is like electricity. It's powerful, and it's invisible. Electricity is invisible. Can't see it. Can you see electricity inside in the socket? Wet your finger and put your finger in the wall socket, and then you'll see electricity. Bhav is like electricity. It's invisible, but so powerful. A touch of electricity can kill you, right? And a touch of Bhav can kill your material life. You get a touch of Bhav, your material life is finished, annihilated. Brajabhav, Gopibhav. Radhabhav. Now that we've established that, let's look closer at this analogy of Bhav and electricity. If you have electric wire, it's a live wire, and you put it in a swimming pool full of water, and you open up the wire and put the two ends in the swimming pool, and then you go in the house and plug it in the wall socket. What will happen to that swimming pool full of water? It'll become electrified. The electricity will pass through that wire and go into the water. And water is a conductor. Water is a conductor of electricity, a very, very good conductor. Electricity dances in ecstasy inside of water. If you put those two wires in a piece of wood, electricity goes to sleep, unless it's wet wood. If there's little water, then little movement. A dry wood, nothing. If you put those two wires in a piece of rubber, nothing. If you put on some metal, then there'd be something. But water, electricity is an ecstasy. It's funny because they say fire and water don't mix. Generally they say fire is the enemy of water, water is the enemy of fire. But electricity is fire. But when that fire of electricity meets the water, it dances in ecstasy. It doesn't become annihilated, it becomes energized. Interesting. So that is the analogy. The electricity, when it contacts water, it spreads its effect throughout the water. And that entire swimming pool becomes electrified. Similarly, the Bhav, which is emanating from the heart of the devotee, enters the water that washes his feet. Bhakta Pada Jal. That's why that water has such power. And that water is a conductor of the Bhav of the heart of the pure devotee. And that water becomes powerful, just like electricity. And that electricity in the swimming pool, you contact that, which is an indirect, it's not the electricity directly, it's something that contacting electricity. You get full effect of electricity, you die. So you're contacting the water from the feet, which is not direct contact of the feet of the pure devotee, but the water that washes feet has so much power that it kills your material existence, annihilates your false ego, annihilates the false identity, which is the hankara, and turns you into a slave of the guru, turns you into a servant of Krishna. So this is amazing transformation. Bhav and electricity. And some fortunate devotees have had the experience of taking Bhakta Pada Jal from great Vaishnavas and Bhakta Pada Duli and Bhakta Bhukta Avashesh, and they feel electrified. Something, if their heart is somewhat purified, when they contact those powerful substances, teen mahabal, then they feel something, some ecstatic symptoms, some joy, some bliss, some shock, like zing. If you accidentally touch a little electricity, your heart goes trrr, and then you make a little trembling, and then it feels that zing. It's kind of, I don't know how to describe what word you can use, but some zing, zing goes up your buzz, or zing goes up your arm, whew, and your brain gets a little bit buzzed. Electricity has that power. So this is the same thing that happens from the Bhaktapada Jal. That water, that conductor, it conducts the electric ba from the heart of the pure devotee. And Bhaktapada Jal. Nitai Padakamala Koti Chandra Shushitala. Nitai Padakamala. 9:13. Mahatmanascha mam partha daivim prakritim ashritaha bhajantyananya manaso yatva bhutadam avyayam ananya bhajan. His mind is fixed in ananya bhajan. That is someone who is sheltered by the daivi prakriti. That's the proof. You're a mahatma? Mahatma? You're a mahatmanas? Oh, Partha, oh, Arjun, do you know who is a great, really great soul? One whose mind is fixed in ananya bhajan. Kirtaniya Sadahari. And if he is like that, then that's the proof that he's in the internal energy and there's nothing external about him. So then the pure devotee must... There's nothing external about the pure devotee. Internal. You can say another meaning, I suppose, an additional meaning of this verse. Bhakti Padajali. Daivim Prakritam. He's taking shelter of Daivi Prakriti. Radha Rani. Prabhupada says this is Radha Rani. The really great souls of this world, the Mahatmas, having taken complete shelter of my superior potency, Parashakti Srimati Radhika, know that I am the inexhaustible source of everything. Bhutaram avyayam. Avyayam, inexhaustible. We say akshay, tritya, inexhaustible. Avyayam, inexhaustible. Bhutaram, adim, bhuta, gyatva. They know that bhuta, that I'm, all the creation, all the bodies and objects and planets and people and everything, bhuta adi, avyayam. I am the inexhaustible. They know that. That behind everything is me. Mata sab matak prataram nanyat kinchit asti dananjaya ayesavam idam proktam sutri maniganaiva. That Krishna's behind everything, like all the individual pearls are supported by the string. Without the string, they're nowhere. And Krishna is a string supporting all of creation. Everything is hanging on the string of Krishna. He's a thread that holds everything together, maintains. And of course creates also and destroys through his different expansions. Daivim prakritim ashrita bhajantya ananya manaso. So they're absorbed in this ananya bhajan. Their mind is fixed. No vikshape, no distraction. Krishna, 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 hey. Radha, 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 hey. So another idea that our Mahajanacharyas have described to further enhance our appreciation of the pure devotees, they explain that this Bhaktapadaduli, of course it means the dust from their feet, that Brajaraj and that sacred, their dust is them, the dust is their vibration. And they say, it is said that the dust represents, the Bhaktapadaduli represents the advance, it represents serving the advanced disciples of the spiritual master, or of that pure devotee. Because they are the closest, the advanced disciples means they're the closest to the guru, they're most attached to the guru, they're guru premis. They say, oh, he has a lot of guru bhakti. She has a lot of guru bhakti. What does that mean? That means that they're attached. They're stuck on the guru, like dust is stuck on your feet. That every word of the guru is they're one with their consciousness. Your words are my consciousness. Consciousness means my life, my energy, my panchaprana, my consciousness. Guru mukha padma vakya, chite te koriya aikya. Chitta aikya. Guru vani, guru vakya, chitta aikya. Ek chitta. My chitta, your words. Your words, my chitta. That is the ideal shishya. Sad shishya. But you have to have sadguru. Then you have sad shishya. iron filings and magnet, chumbaka. Chumbak, magnet is chumbak, so they get stuck together. The real magnet and real iron, if it's not a real magnet, then the iron won't get stuck. If it's a real magnet and it's not iron, it won't get stuck. Aluminum won't get stuck. Aluminum doesn't get stuck in a magnet. Iron does. So if it's a sadguru and a sadshishya, they get stuck. Inseparable. That's why it says sad. Sad means eternal. Sat. So that Bhakti Padaduli, that principle, the Bhakti Padaduli principle of the pure devotee means, we can take that to mean the service of those advanced God brothers, to serve my advanced God brothers, to serve my advanced God sisters. That represents the dust of my guru. That represents the Padaduli of my guru. That represents my guru. The dust is my guru. My guru's mercy is there, my guru's blessings are there, my guru's knowledge is there, my guru's teachings and mercy and everything is there, protection. Everything is there. They're carrying the guru. The dust of his feet is on their head. They're surrendered souls. Man, tan, dan, guru samarpan, it's told. Or Sri Krishna samarpan. Samarpan means full worship, complete dedication, arpan. What? Well, whatever you got. Whatever you got, Jack. Whatever you have. What do you have? Man, tan, dan. That's it. That's the whole ball game. Tan is your tanu, body. Tanuja. Nanda tanuja. We have our body, and then we have our man, which means our dignity, means our mind, means our heart, means our feelings, our consciousness, chitta. That's all included in man. And then dan means whatever that produces. That's your dan. Whatever your man and tanu produce. The byproducts of your man, your man, and your tanu are your dan. Your words, that's produced by your man and your body and your man means mind. So your body and mind, what do they produce? They produce words. Well, maybe they produce money or produce so many things. So that's called the dan. That's the charity. You give that to the guru. That's why that comes last. Man, tan, dan. Doesn't say dan, it says man. First man. First your mind has to be given to the guru. Mind and heart. Then body comes, obviously comes. If I give my mind to some woman, where's my body going to be? With the woman. But giving the mind to guru, that's supposed to be samarpan. Mantan, dan, guru, samarpan. Completely give. Samarpan means complete dedication, completely dedicating, completely giving, completely donating, completely contributing, completely worshipping with. All the functions of my man. Thinking, feeling, willing, thinking guru seva, feeling guru seva, willing guru seva, doing guru seva. Man, tan, the body, the senses, the hands are working guru seva, the legs. My own hands are doing the seva, not that I... You know, delegate it to all the others. Maybe some, but we have to do some ourselves. Just like it's an offense to Thakurji, to Bhagavan, to have a deity and hire a Brahmin to do the puja. That's an aparad. He does not, Thakurji doesn't accept that puja. So guru is like Thakurji. Mantan dan guru samarpan, mantan dan Krishna samarpan. So when we have deities, and there are my deities, then Krishna expects me to do the service with my hand. Not that I say, hey Joe, come and do the service. I dictate it, I dedicate, and I'll follow up. Did you do the service? Yeah, I did a service. Okay, good. Krishna doesn't like it. He wants it from the hand, your hand. He came from your heart. The deities manifested from your heart to accept your worship. I mean, if a guru is training disciples and engaging them in puja, and asking them, that's another thing. Then they're doing on behalf. That's what we have this concept of ritvik. Ritvik means appointed. The word ritvik means you're appointed. The guru appoints you to do puja. The word ritvik has to do with puja or yajna. There's no such thing as ritvik diksha guru. Doesn't exist. Nowhere in Shastra. So that same principle of serving directly with my hand to the deity deities or Thakurji also applies to Guru. Guru says, I want you to do this service. That means he wants it from your hand. Because he can also say, I want you to arrange this. I don't care how you do it, just arrange it. And there's two different orders. One is, he's saying, you see if you can get this done. I want a website. Do you know how to do it? No, I don't know. Okay, then you figure it out, you know, and take the money and do it. So then you hire somebody and you do it. And you oversee it and follow it up and do it. But then sometimes he says, oh, I want you to do this. And he's not saying that. That means he wants from your hand, because he understands that your bhav, your abilities, or somehow he wants. And the other thing, as I mentioned to some of the devotees in the audience, is that there's something, by doing that service, something else is going to come out. It's just like you go out and you're plowing, you're digging a hole to build a house in your yard, and then all of a sudden you find 12 pots of gold coins. So we're given a service and we think, oh, I can dictate this to somebody else. But actually the guru wants, it's not that he wants that particular service, he wants something else to come out. Some ego to get purified, or some gold to come out of your heart, or something to come out. So this is Bhakta Padaduli. To serve the advanced disciples, because they represent the Padaduli, because they're attached. As Duli, or dust, is tightly attached to the feet of the Guru, and that's so powerful, that we can actually obtain that Duli. Our Guru is in Vrindavan, and he's walking in Vrindavan, and the dust of his feet are in Vrindavan, because it has a literal meaning, a literal, real meaning. The dust is the real thing, the dust, the Brajaraj, or anywhere, wherever he's walking, that dust is powerful, it will give prema. But I'm in Switzerland. How do I get the Bhakta Padaduli? The obvious answer is, in line with what we're saying, is that you hope, if you're in some temple with God brothers and God sisters, then you serve them. And by serving those advanced devotees that are really Guru Bhaktas and have a lot of Guru Bhakti and surrendered and submissive to the Guru and always carrying out the order of the Guru, then that dust will fall on your head. That dust of the Guru will fall on your head, because it represents that. The Bhakta Padaduli represents serving the advanced disciples of the Guru. And when that dust falls in your head, what will you get? Krishna Prema Hai. Aitina Seva Haite Krishna Prema Hai. Aitina Seva Haite Krishna Prema Hai. If you serve these three, you'll get Krishna Prema. Puna Puna. Again and again, I'm telling you this. So serving those three. So another way we can say, by serving the advanced disciples of the spiritual master, we get Krishna Prema. Because that's one of the three things. Aitina Seva. Aitina Seva means Bhakta Padaduli Seva. Bhakta Padaduli Seva means the advanced disciples. So serving the dust directly from his feet by eating it, honoring it, wearing it, touching it, or serving the devotees. So this is one meaning of Bhakta Padaduli. In other words, if the Guru has disciples all over the world, you can contact the dust of the Guru's feet anywhere in the world. That's why, if you're a Prabhupada disciple, you have so much regard for another Prabhupada disciple. Because no one in this world can be more attached to Prabhupada than a Prabhupada disciple. Or someone may be heartily, not directly initiated, and also be very heartily attached. That's also there. By Tadatmika. He can become a grand disciple, or a great grand disciple, whatever, but be so Tadatmika with Prabhupada that he's more advanced and more connected to Prabhupada than even a Diksha disciple. That's also possible. But at least the mentality is the Prabhupada disciple will think, oh, here's a God brother, God sister. This is a direct line. This is a direct access to prema. This is direct access to the dust of Prabhupada's feet. I remember when we would go and sometimes visit, and someone would say, oh, you want to meet this sannyasi? He's a sannyasi disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. I say, wow, that's amazing. So we were feeling, and at least it was impressed upon us, and eventually we understood it, that by going to meet him, that we had an opportunity to connect directly with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, a living representative of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. A sannyasi disciple. So this Bhakta Padajal, this Padajal means the orders of the spiritual master. By following the orders of the spiritual master, we will get life, a life of devotion. Because jal is jivan. We say in Hindi, jal jivan. Water is life, the water of life. Life for a disciple is guru bhakti, the seva of guru and the seva of Krishna. So that comes. We get that life, that enthusiasm, that pran, bhakti pran, comes by serving the orders of the spiritual master. Bhakta Pada Jal is the orders of the spiritual master. And what does water do? Water maintains us. Without water, we die. So without serving the guru, we die. And that's serving the guru's orders. And what does water also do? Jal, what does jal do? It cleanses us. It purifies us. We bathe, get cleaned of all the dirt. So the Bhakta Pada Jal, when we carry out the orders of the guru, which represent that Bhakta Pada Jal, we become cleansed. Calm, crow, lust, anger, envy, greed, all these things, anxieties, that all goes out. It washes us. Water is for washing. Water is for washing. So the carrying out the orders of the guru are that sanctifying, purifying water when we carry them out. When we execute the order of the spiritual master, rise by 4 o'clock every day, chant japa till 7 o'clock, then you'll see the magic. The magic is in the order. But we have free will. The jiva has free will, independence. He can choose to surrender to guru and God or not. So as soon as he realizes that if I don't surrender, I just keep staying in a samsara. Surrender is the key to liberation. No surrender, no liberation. The order is there in front of us, and we have to grab it and make it a sankalpa. That order should become one with our life. It becomes my principle of my very existence. As I wash and bathe and eat and clean and pass stool every day and brush my teeth, it's my part of my physical existence. So part of my existence is to rise every day by 4 without fail. Whether I'm sick or well or in hell or in heaven or home or anywhere. And then you see what mercy comes. What power? Life. Jivan. Water is also power. You ever heard of hydropower? Hydropower. Hydro turbine. Gas turbine. Water can make light up a city of 20 million people. That's pretty powerful water. Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls Electric Department. The water just falls a little bit with gravity, and they catch that gravity, and they're running the hydro turbines in Canada, and they're lighting up 25 million people's homes in Manhattan. So water is power. So the orders of the guru are that water, that powerful water. If you carry out the order of the guru, then you get the power to light up your whole life and light your way through the coverings of the universe. When Krishna and Arjuna were going transiting across the universe to go to Mahavishnu Loka, then the horses got scared because they had to penetrate all the coverings of the universe. It's like a shell. It's like a shell. The shells of the universe. There's an earth layer, which is so many 100 million yojans or something. And then after the earth layer is a water layer, which is 10 times thicker than that. Then fire, then air, then ether, then mind. It's 10 times. So it's all black. The covering of the universe is all dark. The light comes from outside, but this universe is dark, but light is coming from outside. And the horses hesitated. Hey, we're going to bust, crack our heads on the coverings of this universe. Crack our heads on those coverings here. So then Krishna took a sudarshan and lit and created this tunnel of light. Like they have this phrase in the Bible, light at the end of the tunnel. The tunnel represents darkness. The tunnel represents the coverings of the universe. And the light is the Brahmajyoti, the light of spiritual knowledge or Guru Kripa, Krishna's Kripa, his sudarshan. So then they got good darshan. They could see their way. Sudarshan means good darshan. Without light, there's no vision. Darkness is blindness. When there's no light, you're blind. You can't see anything. So the horses were blinded by the coverings of the universe. And Krishna threw his sudarshan. And that light penetrated all the coverings. And then they had good view. Sudarshan means a good view of the spiritual world. And they entered Karnadakshaya Vishnu Loka. They met Mahavishnu. So this water from the feet is like, it's like Niagara Falls power, you know, has the power of just to light up the whole universe. That water. So when you carry out the order of the Guru, you'll get the lighting power, the electric power to see your way through the coverings of the universe, just like the Sudarshan, you'll get the good darshan. The order of the Guru gives you the ability to see God. Through the instructions of the spiritual master, you can see Krishna. You can see through the coverings of your ego. So the orders of the spiritual master, Bhakta Padajal, Teen Mahabal, so powerful. Then, the meaning of this last one, of this Bhakta Bhukta Avashesh, which means the Mahamahaprasanam remnants from the pure devotee, that is also said to also mean hearing the Hari Katha from the spiritual master. And it says the spiritual master. Hari Katha is available everywhere. This is an unfinished point that we were discussing earlier. But Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that there are some requirements for the, or criterion, or selectivity. We must exercise some selectivity in our Harikatha. Best Harikatha is from the mouth of the Guru, Diksha Guru, and or specific Siksha Gurus. But Rupa Goswami says that Sajatiya Snigda, Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. We should hear the Bhagavatam in association with Rasik Vaishnavas. And then he says that Sangha should be Sajatiya Snigda, the advanced devotees whom we hear Harikatha from, they should be affectionate. They themselves should be on a level of affection. They should have some rati or a sakti. That's how they become rasiks. Rasika bhavuvaka. It's in the first canto of Bhagavatam. They're bhavukas. They're relishing some bhavas or feelings. So jatiya snigda. So snigda means sneha, affectionate. And they should be specifically affectionate towards us and directing their affection and love towards us. And that sneha means they should have the same sneha that we have, or we are aspiring for. We are interested in kinkari bhav. It's a special bhav that Radha and Krishna have come to distribute in this Kali Yuga through the form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu and his followers. Kinkari bhav, mandri bhav, gopi bhav. This kinkari bhav, bhavalas rati. Radha and Krishna are also, Nimbark came 1,000 years ago and he distributed Radha and Krishna. But he distributed Sakhi Bhav as representative of Radha and Krishna. And they're in Madhurya Bhav. But then, so he's representing as an Acharya, Nimbark. He's a Vaishnava, an Acharya. So he's spreading this Sakhi Bhav, worship of Radha and Krishna, and Sakhi Bhav. But then Radha and Krishna themselves, Radha Sham themselves, not the mantra to attain sakihood of Radha and Krishna, not in a form of a mantra, but they themselves came in their own sarup. Rasaraj Mahabhav. Rasaraj Sri Krishna and Mahabhav Sarupini Radharani came as Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Gauranga Mahaprabhu came. So now Radha and Krishna came and they're distributing Radha and Krishna. He's the Acharya. Gauranga Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna came as the Bhakta, the Bhakta avatar, as the Guru. Radha and Krishna, God and his consort, Shakti and Shaktiman, they came. Forget about an Acharya. Forget about a Mahajan. A Nimbark or Madhva or Ramanuja. Radha and Krishna themselves, they became the Acharya for Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And they said, this is the mantra we want you to chant now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And this is how we want to be worshipped. We want to be worshipped in Kinkari Bhav, Mandri Bhav. Krishna wants to bring so many servitors to the lotus feet of Radharani. So this is another meaning of sneha, that the person I'm hearing from, he has the same bhav that I want to attain. If I'm interested in Sakhi Ras, I want to serve Krishna Balaram Vrindavan, then I should associate and hear from and serve devotees, advanced devotees that are situated in the sthayi bhava of Sakhi Ras, or at least have a sakti, if they're not fixed in bhava and prema, but they have attachment for that, for Krishna Balaram Dao. Now, the second point Rupa Goswami mentions is sajati. This is very specific. Sajati means my family. I'm a Gaudiya Vaishnava. I should associate and hear from Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And this is one defect of your bhajan, according to Rupa Goswami. This Acharya that we're just discussing, he's Gaudiya Vaishnava. So that is also okay. But there's some, maybe, but because if he represents Gaudiya Vaishnavism, that's the first point. He is a Gaudiya Vaishnava. And he's in basically either in Kinkari, Manjari Bhav, Madhuri Bhav, or Sakya Bhav. These are the basic two bhavas that have paramparas coming from the Panchatattva. There's a parampara coming of Sakas, coming from the Dwadasa Gopals of Nityananda. And there's a parampara of Manjaris coming from Advaita Nityananda Gadadhar. So any one of Gaudiya Sampradaya. But sometimes people go and someone's a great sadhu and they're a siddha and they have so many wonderful things, but they're from Nimbarki Sampradaya, or they're maybe even Advaitin Sampradaya, but they speak great Bhagavatam. According to Rupa Goswami, we fold our hands, but we should not. We can serve those great Vaishnavas, but we should not actually hear, because they're not chanting our mantra, they're not chanting our Ishta mantra, and their Ishta is something different. Their desire, their Sneha is different. They're in Sakhi Bhav. We're in Kinkari Bhav. If we want to be in Sakhi Bhav, then we don't belong in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. We go then fine, well and good. Then go to Nimbark Sampradaya. Anarpita Shriyam Chayat, you know, the Lord Chaitanya came to give something, so Bhakti Shriyam, which has never been given before. I'm coming. Who am I? I'm Radha Krishna. I'm coming to give this rare thing, Swabhakti Shriyam, the beauty and effulgence of my own devotion, of my own service. And that means the service of Radha. So bhakti means her bhakti, her devotion, her service. Kinkari bhav. I nanda tanja kinkaram. We have to know what is right for us. What I often say to new people, I say, find a path, a way of self-realization that you believe in. And find someone on that path that exemplifies the perfection you want to attain. Then surrender to that path and surrender to that person and see what you gain.